morning. Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 20. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him forever, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons began to beg Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those sending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sandra. Well, do keep that passage open, Mark chapter 5. It's a vivid story, isn't it? And the question really at the heart of it is this: where do we look to find hope in the face of evil? Where do we find hope in the face of evil? In modern Western culture, talking about evil is, it kind of sounds a bit extreme, doesn't it? It's not a kind of popular conversation topic. And yet it is an undeniable reality in our world. On Friday, I opened the BBC News app. These were some of the headlines. Man sentenced after slave exploited for 40 years. Huge leap in number of children in mental health crisis. Doctors begging for food in Tigray war zone. A lot of the time it's kind of too much to take in, isn't it? I often feel a bit numb reading headlines like that. You think, could I actually imagine a world without evil? But then for lots of us, it's not just on the news, is it? For many of us here today, the brokenness of the world is much closer to home. Maybe it's the thoughts as you lie awake at night, which just don't go away. And you think, will I ever have life without that? Or maybe it's the family member who whose life is just a bit out of control, and it's been like that for as long as you can remember, and you think, is there hope for them turning around? Well, through Mark chapter 5, God says to us this morning, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope, because Jesus can bring freedom from the chaos of evil. So let's pray and ask God to help us as we look at this passage. Father, we need your help to hold on to hope in a world that is full of evil. Thank you that there is hope in Jesus. Please help us. In Mark 5, it's Jesus face to face with evil. And we get to watch what happens. So we're going to listen to the story, try and kind of inhabit the story and feel it and understand it and see how it speaks to us today. So let's dive in, verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. So Jesus and his disciples have been sailing across the lake through the night. Perhaps it's early morning now as they land. And as Jesus gets off the boat, there's a man coming towards them. And in fact, he is running full pelt. And as he gets closer, they can see that something is not right. He is physically ravaged. He's wounded and bruised, and his hair is wild, and he's got kind of chains dangling off his arms and legs. This man is terrifying. He's a picture of chaos. And verse 2 tells us why. He is a man with an impure spirit. He has a demon, an evil spiritual being at work in his life. And he's turned him into a vehicle of destruction. Just look at verses 3 and 4. The people nearby are terrified of this man. They've driven him out to the tombs, but they're still scared. They've tried to chain him up over and over again, but he tears the chains like they're tissue paper. Mark really wants us to see the power of this impure spirit cannot be tamed. Verse 3, no one could bind him anymore. Verse 4, no one was strong enough to subdue him. The demon has made this man incredibly powerful and violent and destructive. And unsurprisingly, he's cut off from any kind of community and relationships. Verse 5, night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. This man is terrifying. But he's also pitiful, isn't he? The demon has seared his life with chaos, and it just seems hopeless for him now. And now verse 6, here he is, sprinting towards Jesus. And just look at the conversation that follows. So just glance over it now, verse 7 down to verse 12. What happens when this terrifying man, who no one can subdue, meets Jesus? What happens when, turns out, not just one demon, a whole army of demons comes face to face with Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God? Well, it's not a contest. Jesus is utterly in charge. Jesus has absolute authority. The man runs up to him, and there isn't even a struggle. Jesus doesn't do anything. The man just falls on his knees and starts pleading. And as he opens his mouth, verse 7, it's the demons who are speaking. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. They know exactly who Jesus is. They know that he has total authority. So they beg him, please, don't punish us for our wickedness. But then verse 8, it looks a bit confusing, doesn't it? Because verse 8 says, Jesus has already commanded them to leave the man. So in that case, why haven't they left? Why didn't they obey him straight away? I don't know exactly why, but it can't be because Jesus lacks authority. Look at how the conversation goes on. Verse 10, the demons beg Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. Verse 12, the demons beg Jesus to send them into the pigs. The demons have no choice. They have to obey Jesus. They have to leave the man. And in fact, they can only go somewhere else with Jesus' permission. What they are allowed to do is entirely up to Jesus. So verse 12, the demons beg Jesus, send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them. He gave them permission. And the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Now at this point, we might have quite a lot of questions about that. I mean, why did the demons want to go into the pigs? And why did Jesus let them? Is that unkind? Is it unkind to the people who own the pigs? Is it unkind to the pigs themselves? What can we say about that? Well, I think one thing we can say clearly, the destruction of these pigs is not a good thing. It's the opposite. It's more violence and chaos at the hands of these demons. It's not a good thing. But I wonder if Jesus allows it for a bigger purpose. I wonder if Jesus allows it to help us appreciate what has happened for the man. So imagine with me the scene of verse 13. There's this huge herd of pigs on the hill, 2,000 of them. To get an idea, imagine a football pitch. Imagine ramming it literally as full as you could with pigs. Slightly weird visual image, but that's about how many pigs this is. And there they are, 1 minute, happily grazing on the hill. And the next minute, they all turn suddenly and start charging down the hill towards the lake. And they get faster and faster, and they reach the water, and they don't stop. They just keep going. The back ones are pushing the front ones further and further in. And gradually it quietens down. And you look across the lake, and it's just full of pig corpses. That is the kind of horror and violence which these demons cause. That is the chaos and the evil which they do. That is a picture of what this man is rescued from. And look where he is, the man. Look at verse 15. The man who had been possessed by a legion of demons is sitting there with Jesus, dressed in his right mind. This is the result of Jesus' authority. This very same man who we met running, screaming, chains flailing, hair wild. Here he is, sitting calmly with Jesus. He is free. He's rescued. He can re-enter the community. He can start his life again in peace. Jesus has brought freedom from the chaos of evil. Let's just pause with the story for a moment. How does all of this connect to us today? Well, we live in the same world as this man, don't we? Evil is a reality in our lives. Evil spiritual beings are real, and they're still active today. Now, we might have loads of questions about that, and we need to be thoughtful about how we think about evil spirits. So, when I've given some examples today of evil in the world, I'm not saying that those things are directly caused by evil spirits. We need to be very, very careful about how we think about that. There's a lot that the Bible just doesn't spell out. If that's something you've got questions about, please do feel free to grab me afterwards, grab Chris, and we'd love to chat about that more. But this is what I think is crystal clear in Mark 5. Jesus can bring freedom from any evil. Jesus can do what no other human initiative can do. The best government, the best medical care, the most advanced education system. Those things are wonderful, but they cannot rid the world of evil. But Jesus can. And one day Jesus will. You see, this story is like a flash forward to the day when Jesus returns. It's like this is the trailer for the film. It's a sneak preview of the real thing. The day when Jesus brings all freedom from evil. The day when Jesus, the Messiah, establishes his kingdom fully on earth. And if we trust in Jesus, that kingdom, that day, is our true home. Let me read to you a verse from Colossians chapter 1. This is how Paul describes being a Christian. I think it will be on the screen. For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. When we've just read Mark chapter 5, those words are powerful, aren't they? You and I used to be in the dominion of darkness. Even if we've been Christians as long as we can remember, that's where we used to be. But God has rescued us through Jesus' death and resurrection. God has rescued us, and now we belong to Jesus, to his kingdom. Just take in what a huge thing that is. Instead of belonging to the dominion of darkness, we are citizens of Jesus' kingdom. And that means that we live now as people who are away from our true home. Just like we've been seeing in 1 Peter these last few weeks. We live now waiting for Jesus to return, waiting for that kingdom to be established. And at times that waiting is painful. While we wait, we may still experience the oppressive governments. We may still endure the chronic, agonizing physical pain. We may have to watch loved ones face those things. While we wait, evil can still hurt us, can still attack us, afflict us, but it can never own us. No, we belong to Jesus now. We're citizens of his kingdom. And one day soon, he will put an end to all evil forever. Whatever evil it is that afflicts you today, you will be free from that in Jesus' kingdom. So I think of friends of ours who suffer from mental ill health. And sometimes just living through a day is intensely painful for them. Maybe you know that experience. And when we pray with them, we pray that Jesus would take that away. He could do that. He has all authority over every kind of evil and suffering. But the Bible doesn't promise that he will do that right now. So most of all, our prayer with those friends is that Jesus will come back. Because on that day, he has promised freedom from all evil. Depression will be gone. Abusive authorities will be gone. There will be no tragic accidents, no crippling diseases, no death. That is the glorious future which Mark 5 is the trailer for. So I want to make sure I'm saying this clearly. We can pray for Jesus to intervene now, to overcome evil now. That's a brilliant thing to pray for. But most of all, pin your hopes on that final day. Let's pray for that final day to come soon. Well, let's come back to the story. And the rest of the passage, we see two reactions to Jesus. We see fear and we see faith. So have a look, verse 14. The pigs have drowned, and understandably, the pig farmers, they just leg it. And as they go, did you see that they're telling everyone that they meet that the pigs, they just all sprinted down the hill, and there was that guy from the tombs, and there's this other guy, go and see it, go and see the pigs. And gradually there's more and more of a crowd heading out towards the lake. And you can imagine them when they get there. Verse 15, they see the man. Is that really him? Yeah, it's him. But he's so normal. What's happened to him? And their eyes turn to Jesus. And Mark says, look at the end of verse 15. They're afraid. And so verse 16, those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. What do you make of their reaction? In a lot of ways, it's understandable, isn't it? And Jesus has turned up. He's shown he's more powerful than this wild man. And then he's done something to the pigs, and now they're all dead in the lake. In a lot of ways, it's natural, isn't it, for them to be scared, to want him to go. But there's something they're missing. No one is looking at the restored man. No one is thinking about what this all means for him. And yet, Jesus is scarily powerful. But his power has brought peace and restoration. Yes, I mean, the pigs, it's disturbing, but thank goodness it's not the man that that's happened to. Isn't it better that he is free? But the crowd don't see it. They don't see the good that Jesus has brought, and so they fear him, and they plead with him to leave, and he leaves. It might be that you're here this morning and you feel a little bit like that crowd. A little bit afraid of Jesus. Yeah, afraid of his authority. Afraid of how would he disrupt my life if I chose to follow him. If that is you, please don't miss the goodness that comes from Jesus' authority. Please don't miss the freedom that he has brought. Yes, he is scarily powerful, but we can trust him. And that's the second response that we see, not fear, but faith. Look at verse 18 with me. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Can't have been easy for this man to hear, can it? He's just had his life restored. All he wants is to be with Jesus, maybe to get a fresh start in a brand new place. And Jesus says, no, don't come with me. Go home to your own people. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you. You see, the Decapolis, where this is a Gentile area. to people have not heard about Jesus. This is the first time he's come. And he's hardly off the beach, and now he's going again. It's full of people who don't know Jesus. But they do know this man. Maybe they're his family, his old friends, his old neighbours. They know his story. And so Jesus says, go to them. Go to them and tell them what's happened. Tell them what I've done for you. And the man trusts Jesus. And so he goes to his family, to his friends, to his old neighbours, and further afield as well. And he tells them, Jesus freed me from evil. He tells them how powerful Jesus is, how kind he is, how merciful he is. And everyone is amazed at what Jesus has done. It says, verse 20, through this man, the fame of Jesus spreads and explodes in this area. I wonder what it might look like for us to follow his example. To tell people our story, how Jesus has turned our lives upside down, how he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Like this man, we have experienced the most incredible life-changing love and mercy and power. So will we be like him? Will we tell people? It's worth saying, Jesus says, go home to your own people. I don't think that means for us we should all be returning to the country of our birth to tell people about Jesus. I think the point is this. Go to the people who know you. Go and speak about Jesus in your normal environment, wherever that is. Go to the park, to the office, to your block of flats, to your family, to the school gate. Those places are full of people who don't know Jesus. But they do know you. They do know me. And we can tell them what Jesus has done for us. And here's the thing. We don't need to know all the answers. This man in the story, he didn't know lots of theology. He didn't have a degree from Oak Hill College. No, he just told people, I met Jesus and he saved me. I was a mess. I was hopeless. And he rescued me. That is what Jesus is calling us to do. We need God's help with that, don't we? So let's pray. Let's pray for courage to speak about Jesus. And let's pray that we would hold on to that hope, that certain hope of that day, when Jesus frees us from all evil. Let's pray now. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. You have total power and authority. And you use it for us. You've used it to overcome evil, and one day you will establish your kingdom. Thank you that if we trust in you, that is our home, a place totally free from every evil. Please help us to long for that day. And please help us to tell others what you've done for us, your incredible power and mercy, so that they could be part of your kingdom too. And we pray in your name. Amen.